So we're moving on through this series, looking at these 5 points of arise. They're all listed there in the 40 days. And we've come to the letter I. I being for inside out living. I want to do is, I'm going to remind you of the first 3 points that we've had so far, because we're kind of halfway through now. We're right in the middle. So we've been working through these 5 points. And the first one was, we are ambitious for the kingdom of God. Ambitious for the kingdom of God. And what we want to do is we want a kind of an aim or a hope related to each of these 5 points. This is what we want you all to do out of this, kind of out of each point. So the first point is ambitious for the kingdom. The aim is this, for us all to be developing a vision for all things everywhere to be shaped and influenced by the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about his kingdom here. And to be seeking to see that fulfilled. We want everyone to have a vision of what this advancing kingdom looks like for them, where God has placed them, with the people before them that he has put. That's the first one. The second one is R. So R for restored identity. And the aim here is for us all to have a relationship with God through Christ and fully grasp our identity and authority in the world as sons and daughters of the living God. We want to be growing and understanding more and more who we are in Christ, because that changes everything, as we're going to find out a little bit more today. Today we've come to this sort of, probably the one that's probably takes a little bit more unpacking and explaining, and that is this inside out living. And the aim for this point is this, for us all to be seeking to live free from the negative influence from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and for the primary influence in our lives to be our relationship with our Heavenly Father and our restored identity. We'll do the other two in the weeks to come. But I confess that I've gone round the houses a little bit with this point. And it kind of started with saying it's about intimacy with God. And it still is about intimacy with God, this point. But it was while I was away on retreat last year that God really started to speak to me. Everything I read was about this kind of inside-out living. Living from the person, the place that the person that we are in Christ, that restored identity. And living from the place that God has within us. Everything I read just sort of pointed towards that. And it is about intimacy with God. There's no doubt about that. It's about connection with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. This is the most important thing that could ever happen to us, surely. It's what surely salvation is about. It's about what our salvation is about, what we're saved for. It's kind of part of the central purpose of the death of Christ and core to the gospel. God in Christ, making it possible for humanity. Now let's get personal. God in Christ, making it possible for you and for me to have a relationship with himself. The relationship that we were created for. And it's a relationship that begins now and goes on for eternity. And only Jesus could do this. Jesus made it possible. This is what it says in John 14. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes this relationship possible. Jesus restored the connection, the creation, the relationship that we were created for. So that's why say this prayer and you've got your ticket to heaven when you die. I don't think it's enough. Jesus died for more than that. You know, when we say that prayer, when in faith we turn to God, away from all that has caused sin, caused separation, the sin in our lives, and we invite him to come and live in us and dwell in us by his Spirit, what happens then is we enter into a relationship with him. We call God Father, and he calls us his sons and his daughters. We are adopted into his family, and that relationship needs investing in. We want to know him more, don't we? We want to seek what God is like. We want to seek what he wants and do it. We want to love the things he loves. We want to speak to him. Spend time with him. We want to read his word. This is such a gift to us, isn't it? And so important in that relationship. And we want to listen to his voice. This is all about relationship. But this is only possible because of that restored identity that Chris and Steve did such a great job of introducing over the course of the week that has gone. And this restored identity as a child of God, connected with our Father in heaven, is where we must live from. This relationship, this restored identity as a child of God, connected with our Heavenly Father, is where we have to live from. That's what this point is about. Because if we don't live from that place, where do we live from? Well, if we don't live from that place, we can find ourselves being slaves, being tossed and bashed around by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this whole point is about living from the place that God has within us and living free from some of those influences, negative influences that are upon us. It doesn't mean we won't have struggles. It doesn't mean that we won't have pressure and difficulties in our lives. You know, Jesus said, in this world there will be trouble, but I've overcome the world. But what I want to say is this, as we increasingly live from the place that God has within us and that we have in him, this will shape and influence us rather than those things shaping and influencing us. We can increasingly live free from the impact and influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because whatever comes at us from those things doesn't change who we are in him. So here's a question I want to ask you today. All of you watching online and the few of us here in this room, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? You know, when you gave your life to Christ, if you have given your life to Christ, something dramatic and drastic happened. Do we accept that? Do we believe that? Something dramatic and drastic happened. You changed. You know, Steve talked about this in his word on Wednesday during the week. He talked about this amazing conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's the reading that we have as part of our 40 days of prayer and fasting for today. And here Jesus talks about being born again or born from above. Nicodemus struggled with this, didn't he? He said, how can I go back into my mother's womb a second time? He didn't get it because he was looking from the wrong place. But this is how drastic the change is. This is what takes place when someone comes to Christ. It's like they are born again. This is how the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was calling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. It's why baptism is so important. I can't wait to get this pool open or get down the beach and baptize people, because it's just such an amazing moment where we remember, we reflect, we celebrate what God is doing in a person's life. If they have died with Christ, the old is gone, and when they rise up out of the water, it's like they're rising with him. New life. New life. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that? That is how drastic, that is how dramatic the change is that takes place when someone becomes a Christian. They're a new creation. So two things I want to say about living from the inside out. The first I'm going to talk briefly about this morning, and the second is going to be part two during the week with our word on Wednesday, where I'm going to talk about the second point. So the first is about living from the place that God has in you and this new identity that we have in him. So this inside out living is about living from the place that God has in you and this new identity that you have in him. And then secondly, during the week, we're going to look at this whole area of recognizing that you've got a battle to live from that place sometimes. And we've got to fight that battle sometimes harder than others on three fronts. And we're going to look at some kind of like ways of doing that during the week. When I speak on the word on Wednesday, it'll go out on Tuesday this week. But then Barney's going to lead the discussion 7:30 Wednesday evening, normal sign in. So you log in at 7:30, watch it together, and then there'll be some discussion taking place afterwards. I really encourage you to do that. We had a great time this week, didn't we? You know, it was really good, those of us that were there. So good to unpack and explore this together. So there's a question, okay? Here's the question I want to kind of leave with you, and I've been pondering this, and I kind of, one of those questions I thought, this should be an easy answer, but as I started to think about it, it got more and more complicated. Where does God live in you? Where does God live in you? Not, I want to say, it's a legal question. We can ask this because we're temples of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? We are holy habitations. But where does God live in you? Does he live in the place that we would call our hearts? I love what the Bible says about our hearts. They call it, it's more, the translation is sanitized a little bit. It's our bowels. You know, when you look at the, you know, it talks about hearts, particularly in the New Testament. It's this here, the seat of our emotions. You know, our hearts are really, really important. And the Bible talks a lot about our hearts. They are what shape our, now I've written this here, okay? They're what shape our movements. Now, I've got to be really careful talking about the heart as the bowels and then talking about shaping movements. Sorry, is that a bad thing to say? Anyway. So it shapes our movements, our motivations, and our emotions. That's what our hearts are about. But our hearts need to be changed, don't they? They need to be shaped. They need to be transformed. The word we would use in the Bible is they need to be sanctified, set apart. We're on a process and we're on a journey with that, I think. So God does live in our hearts, but it's also a journey that we're on, a change and a transformation that's happening in our hearts. So that's the first, you know, does God live in our hearts? But yeah, and kind of, He's living, he's becoming more and more, you know, he's living in our hearts more, if you like. So what about, does God live in our bodies? When I say body, we could get into all sorts of complex arguments, as Steve started to explain on Wednesday evening about what Paul says about the soul and things like that. When I'm talking about our bodies here, I want to talk about our physical selves and the life-giving breath that we have. So does God live in our bodies? Well, these bodies are an absolute gift, aren't they? I don't care what your body looks like, it's a gift. Because we'd be absolutely stuffed without them, wouldn't we? We need our bodies. And you know, one day these bodies are going to figure. They won't look quite like these. You know, Jesus' resurrection body was an example of kind of what resurrection bodies are going to kind of look like. They'll kind of be like us, but they won't be like what, you know, we are. But that's discussion for another time. But the reality is that these bodies too can be a bit of a pain, can't they? Just as our hearts can lead us astray, our bodies can lead us astray. They can fail us. They can let us down. They too need to be shaped and changed by the place that God has in within us. Because left to their own devices and urges and the influences of what we were, and we'll talk a little bit more about that on Wednesday, there can be a tension between who we are in, you know, who God, that place that God has in us and who we are in him, and kind of who we are. If we just let our bodies do whatever they want to do, does that make sense? So there's a tension there. So kind of God does dwell in our bodies, but he also has to be redeeming and changing and transforming our bodies. But okay, what about our minds? Does God live in our minds? Well, I would say our minds are so important, aren't they? They can be the door to our both experiencing the blessing of God and knowing him more. That's why Paul talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. But also they can be the door to us experiencing all kind of negative stuff. We can allow stuff into our bodies and our minds and our experiences and our actions through the decisions that we make. And that's why I think Paul talks about taking every thought captive and making it obedience to Christ. So, you know, our minds are really important, and we do experience God in our mind. But again, our minds are being transformed. Our minds are being changed. So we've got our hearts and our minds and our bodies, and they're all crucial elements of who we are, our personhood, if you like. But each of them needs to come into line with the place that God has in us and who we are in him. Listen to these words from Romans 8. This is this amazing chapter in Romans. And this is what it says in verse 16. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. Let me read that again. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. This is the Message translation. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. You know, our spirit, this is the part of us that was created for connection with God, for communion with him. It's the part of us that connects with him in true worship. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? We've got to worship in spirit and in truth. This is what sets us apart in the whole of creation, that spirit. Now, we cannot underestimate the importance and just the impact of sin and separation and the impact that that had upon that aspect of our personhood, upon who we were before we knew Christ. This is what it says in Ephesians 2. This whole section is under this heading, made alive with Christ. This is what it says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Just go on in verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. We cannot underestimate the impact that sin had upon our state and condition before we came to Christ. It says we were dead in our transgressions. But then what happens is we come to Christ. We put our trust in him. We believe in him. We turn to him, and this amazing work of recreation and transformation takes place by his Spirit. In our spirits, we're born again. We're born from above. We are made alive with Christ. We are put right, a new creation. There's connection where there was no connection. True worship starts to happen. This is the place that we need to live from. And what happens as we start to live from the place that God lives within us? Is that it starts to shape our hearts. Our motivations change. This is the work of the Spirit, guys. Our motivations change. Our affections change. The things we want and do and say change because we're living from where God lives within us. It changes our hearts. It changes our minds. Changes our bodies. So then what happens is when we live from that place, is all this other stuff that's going on around us, it doesn't shape and influence and impact us in the same way, because we're secure in who we are in Him. You know, Wednesday, we're going to talk about those influences. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And those are some of the fronts that we have to fight. And we're going to unpack what that looks like. And we're going to start thinking about some tools in our toolbox to stand against these things. But ultimately, I think I don't want to finish there because that's too negative. I want to finish with the most amazing thing that has happened to those who have put their trust in Christ. God has done a work of transformation and renewal within you. In the most important part of you, if you like, the Spirit, the eternal part of you, He's come and He said, "You're washed clean. You're no longer dead, you're alive. You're righteous." He looks at us and it's like he looks through the lens of the blood of Christ and he just sees us as righteous. Now we need to be living in that righteousness. This is about the true you. This is about the true you. I want to challenge you. Okay, I want to challenge you. I want you to put this I want you to just put it at the forefront of your minds for the next 7 days. And I want you to be mindful and intentional about this. So when things start to come, it might be fear, it might be anger, irritation, it might be worry or anxiety. It might be, I don't know, a temptation that you know doesn't fit with who you are in Christ and where God lives within you. I want you in that moment to turn your mind and your heart and your body. Maybe you need to express it in stand or I don't know, whatever. But just turn yourself, the whole self, to who you are in Him and where He is in you. And just start to praise Him and thank Him. Thank Him that you're a child of God. That you're secure in your identity. Nothing can take that away from you. No fear. No anxiety. No person. No virus. Nothing can take that away from you. You're a child of God. So in that moment, turn your attention to where He is in you. Because nothing can rob that of you, from you. So just for that moment, and I just encourage you, declare it. I'm a child of God. God has made His dwelling within me. I'm not saying the storm won't continue to rage, you know, but what it means is actually you'll be secure in the midst of the storm. I'm not saying I've got this nailed either. I've been trying to do it this week. Because I know the things that just trigger me and make me anxious or whatever, you know, and I'm just saying, no, right, I'm going to stop that. And I'm just going to focus on who I am and where He is in me. That is going to be the focus. And I'm going to praise Him for that. So I really want to encourage you, 7 days, just try it. Just when it comes, start to praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm a child of God. No, nothing can rob that away from me. Nothing. And that's why I think this inside out living is absolutely central. I love the fact that it's the eye of Arise because it's right in the middle. Who we are in Christ and where God is in us. Yeah, it's all about intimacy. It's all about knowing Him better. But it's all about knowing who we are in Him and living from that place.